Welcome to another episode of the Silly with the Wooligans. This is Mitch, Matthew.
Hello.
Bradley.
Hello.
No guest today.
No guest today.
But that's okay, because we got things to talk about.
Man, we got a lot of things to talk about.
We'll start with Jekyll and Hyde FC.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's about the way you can talk about it.
Because,
well, you know, I said at the end of the last podcast, I said after those two games, we'll know something. And I'm still not sure what we know, because
I know we know nothing.
We shit the bed in one game. We almost shit the bed in the second game, but we showed some heart and came back and won.
Yes.
Jekyll and Hyde FC.
So, yeah.
There's a myriad of ways of looking at it, right?
We would have had a very different podcast if we would have done one after Tulsa.
Yes, there's a lot of doom and gloom about that. Yeah. But on one hand, after 60 minutes against Tampa, we were looking at 1 or 2 points out of 9.
Yeah.
Which would have been horrific. Instead, we're at 4 points out of 9, which is still not great. I mean, it's still under half. But we're 7 points out of the last 12 points.
Yeah.
7 out of 12 ain't bad. We scored that penalty against Swope. We're 9 out of 12.
Yeah.
Which is pretty half decent.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there's a difference of 2 minutes. You know, 2 minutes before Plaver scored, and it was two from the last 9, which just isn't good enough.
Yeah, let's talk about Tulsa first. Just isolate that a little bit. We don't have to talk about it very long. But Matthew Bird, you and about 20 other people made the trip down to Tulsa.
Yeah, yeah, it's always a good trip. Props to those guys down there. They don't get a lot of fans, and the team's doing really well. And probably deserves more fans.
Yeah, I mean, the first 2 years we were in the league, they were pretty awful. And that's coming from a St. Louis fan.
Yeah.
But they're doing well this year.
They're doing well. But I think with playing us on the Thursday, they had a massive game against Oklahoma City on the Saturday.
That's their big rivalry, right?
So I think it was muted for Thursday. But they're a good team.
Yeah.
They're a good team. And it does worry me that in 10 days, they're coming up here and can probably do us over again. I mean, we're going to have to be at our best to get something from them.
Yeah, another weird midweek game. I don't know what it is about Tulsa, man, but they like to play Thursdays and Wednesdays, don't they?
Well, I think it's baseball.
Their home stadium, yeah, but it seems like we have a lot of games where they come here on the weekday, too, because that's a doable road trip, and yeah. I'd like to see some of their fans, you know, make the trip up. And they have before, but I'm not expecting many on a midweek game.
No. Maybe
it's revenge booking.
Maybe.
You don't give us a Saturday, we don't give you a Saturday.
I was very impressed with our turnout, gotta be honest. Lots of kids there, real feel-good thing. It felt like a Thursday, people are off work that went there. It was a feel-good aspect to it.
Would have been nice if we could have got the win. But
would have been nice if we would have showed up.
How different could that game have been if Valeski took a shot?
Valeski, if you didn't watch the game, there's a moment in the first half where Valeski was
10 yards away,
yeah,
bearing down on goal.
And kind of on his own, and he chose to slot it across to the middle through two defenders, and they just handled it.
And I was stood right behind the far post that was gaping open. I'm like, there's you.
Oh, I mean, I yelled at my house. I'm sure everyone else yelled in their house, shoot it, you know.
Well, who was it? There was one of the people that made the trip that made a comment to me that they're like, I'm pretty sure he heard me screaming at him because he turned and looked at us. And I was like, well.
But I mean, that's the kind of thing. You got to take that shot. And
I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Confidence. But, you know, here's the thing. If he'd have missed the shot, the guy that was the square ball he was looking to would have given him an airful as well.
But he also could have gotten it on a rebound.
But if you
don't take that first shot, you've got no chance at a rebound.
Well, not only that, but he had two or three options in taking the shot that, you know, he could have gone left, he could have gone over.
He had time.
Exactly. Making the pass was literally the worst choice he could have made.
If he takes the shot and gets it on frame, no one's going to argue with him.
Right.
Even if he takes the shot and it hits wide, like just wide, nobody's going to argue with him.
Yeah, you got to take that shot.
And again, he's a striker, and he loves to shoot. So for him not to take
theoretically
a shot was, yeah, that I think that was what was so puzzling for me. That dude, of all people, you're the guy that should be shooting.
Yeah,
I'm sick of Tulsa scoring 30 odd blobs against us.
Yeah, I was going to mention that first goal. I don't fault anybody. That was a wonder goal. You know, I mean, it happens.
Against us. Yeah. Often.
The second goal was a bit of a shit show from everybody. I don't want to, you know, Davalo started, and I know everybody like me kind of went, oh, shit. He didn't play bad. He had some stops. My biggest problem with Davalo, and I said this during the game to a couple other people, he can't catch the ball. Everything is a punch. Everything is a bat away. Just hold the goddamn ball half the time.
Well, and most of the time, too, it's, some, you know, they're pushing forward. Right. So it's not like
he made a couple of, like, good saves and then had to get up and make the rebound save. And then I said, if you just grabbed the ball the first time, you wouldn't have to do that.
And, again, I have to wonder at this point in time if his mind is just messed up, if confidence is shot. I don't, you know, call it what you will, but, you know, these are things. It's not the play of a confident keeper.
No. But the loss wasn't on him.
No, the loss was not on him. Not at all.
The breakdown on the second goal was just awful. It was two bad plays in front of him.
And I'm forever the AJ apologist. I like AJ, but
he misplayed that terribly.
Everyone on social media explained to me how wrong I am.
I'm not being funny. Our best defender right now is a midfielder.
Yeah. No, Tony Wall's coming back in defense. Looks like a brilliant move. Before we move on from Tulsa, because I'm done with Tulsa, other than to say, Tulsa kept their local commentators this year, and it showed. Those guys knew their team, they knew the team they were playing against, and they had done some homework. I mean,
they knew.
They gave a shout out to This Is Silly.
That was awesome. I was stunned to hear that.
So, props to them for. I know it's more expensive, and I know St. Louis FC is going to be looking at whether they go back with the USL commentators or do their own next year, but I really enjoyed their commentating of that game.
And for, like you said, first of all, they actually know what they're talking about.
It wasn't just because they kissed our ass.
Well, that helps. Don't get me wrong.
But, and that, by the way, that guy's name was Jeremy Joplin.
Yeah. But and the color guy's really good, too, and I can't remember his name. You know, not just because he's English. But
no, but they were good, yeah.
You know, they know it. But the thing was, is that
English commentators are the best, aren't they?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They're the best. If only the club knew someone around here with radio experience.
With 2.5 years of interning under his belt.
I was going to make a...
I'm pretty cheap.
I was going to make a paid joke, but yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, fuck, I don't know what I was saying now.
But no,
nobody was... I mean, I didn't hear the shout-out because I was there, obviously, but I mean, my phone started dinging.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was at. The great thing was is that he obviously keeps Twitter open while he's announcing, because somebody, you know, I made a comment, you know, best announcer ever, because he gave us props, and somebody said, I didn't hear him say your name, and I said, no, he did. I rewound it twice, haha, you know, kind of thing. And on the podcast or on the broadcast, he goes, there's no way I'd forget Mitch from This Is Silly,
right?
So it's like, okay, he's keeping up with Twitter while he's doing this.
And again, that's not even just about us, but it's a person that's engaged with the league and with the fans. That's, and so many times we get the feeling that those people down in Tampa are in a closet and have no connection to the outside world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and even if we had our local announcers, they wouldn't know that the Tampa's supporters group is called Ralph's Mob. Right. They wouldn't know that the Rustabouts. They wouldn't know because they're the people watching their away games.
Right.
That's your audience. Your audience aren't your home fans because they're at the stadium.
Exactly.
But the other thing is too, and those guys do a great job of it, is that you being there, they get a feel for what's going on in the game, the momentum, the crowd noise, the fans. You know, it's not,
or shouting out, you see those, you know, people in green down there on your lower left, those are the Luligans that made the trip. Right. I mean,
yeah, or you know they met up with them beforehand, you know, you have that awareness of what's going on.
I will say, on the way up here tonight, I listened to the USL show, and they interviewed Jake Edwards from the league president, and they did talk about USL Productions and how that's going, and he obviously said, you know, it's improved since week one, and I think that's true. We've seen a little bit of it, but he said there's still a ways to go. Speaking directly about the commentators, he said the big difference is if you have really good local commentators, it's great. He said, but if you don't, a lot of times they were finding in certain markets, and this isn't saying who it was, but they would know the home team but know nothing about the away team. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we know there were teams that were baseball announcers brought in to do soccer and didn't know soccer. So in those instances, yes, the USL crew is preferable because at least they know the game.
But that's what we've been saying the whole time.
So you have to have a mix of both, I think. I think the USL people, if they're going to do this, they really need to get into the league, get into the fans, get to know some of the personal and the backstory. And I get that's hard. They're going to have to do it for 30 teams as opposed to just two teams or whatever. But that's their job. They should be able to do it.
You know,
and you can have, like, you know, I do mostly the West game. So a guy gets a feel for the West or a guy gets a feel for the East.
Or why not even have local guys that you just have on retainer just for those games? You know, there's plenty of announcers that would do the part-time, you know.
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks, you know, well, maybe a play-by-play guy from the league and a color guy from the local market, but then you get weird because you're not sitting in the same booth with the guy.
Right, but
we know that's impossible.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that, you know, okay, so you have a Bob Ramsey and a Bill McDermott or a Brad DeMunbrun and, you know, whoever. It doesn't matter who. Just have warm bodies there that aren't watching a TV the same as the rest of us.
Yeah. And then also, you have to have standards set where, look, if you're going to cover these games, you do have to know, you know, X, Y, and Z about the away team.
Mm-hmm.
And have watched a few games so you know, oh, we got, you know, Pittsburgh coming up next week. Pittsburgh is on this kind of run. You know, things like that. I think there has to be some standards.
Doing homework.
Yeah. Well, that's the big key. All right, let's move on to the Rowdies.
Yes. No. Yes.
Home game, no. Sunday night. We were all there. We were all excited. Game started amazing.
Oh, got off to a flyer.
The best 5 minutes of soccer we've watched in a long time, per Mark Gardner. Mark Gardner of your electric.
Yes.
Oh, well, do you think we went up too soon? I'm not being funny, because 85 minutes is a long way to close out a game.
I know, and we've done that before where we've said we've scored too soon. And
you know what? No, because the thing was is that it was – things were clicking.
I don't really even think they let their foot off the gas in the middle. It was just a high-flying game.
And Tampa are good.
They're a good team.
They're going to have the chances. I mean, that German –
even without Joe Cole.
Even that German fell out, Schaefer, dude. Yeah. He is a brilliant player. Ristoff. Great player.
Super chippy game, though. The first half, a lot of shoving, a lot of physical.
But it's
not dirty. Not dirty.
Not dirty. Yeah. Not dirty. No, no, no. It was, but no, absolutely. And it was the we're flying hard, we're running hard, collide.
Yeah.
You know, good. That was the comment somebody made to me, and I completely agree. This is what Preki had promised us at the preseason.
It's exactly
high flying, high scoring.
We'll give up a few, but we'll score more.
And this is the first time all year we've seen that.
I think, well, maybe the first two games.
Maybe.
Well,
not the first game. Cause it
was one difference in the lineup. Seth Rudolph got to start. And again, I prove that I know nothing about players. because I've not been a big fan of Seth. I like Seth to come on late when his legs can, you know, do some damage. But he played well.
Part of it is Seth goes hard all the time,
yeah,
and you can't maintain that over 90 minutes or 60 or 70 or whatever the case
may be.
But he
did. I mean, he went hard
the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, he's not got a lot of minutes, so he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, but he took advantage of his spot and scored two goals.
Tell you who else came in. Austin Ledbetter.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it takes guys... I mean, we've seen it with Ryan Howe. Sometimes it takes guys a couple of games to get their legs in this league.
I was very hard on Austin after the Charlotte game.
And well, we were hard on everyone.
To be fair. But I said at the time, I don't think Austin's done. I just didn't think he was ready. And, you know.
Yeah, it takes
but
guys
he had a good game.
It's funny because we were concerned going into the game. Because it wasn't a traditional lineup. You had Tyler David up front.
Yeah.
You had, you know, you had the Ryan Howe was starting. You had a lot of faces that didn't quite look like it was going to get you the results.
It was a concerning lineup, but hey, it worked.
Yeah. I mean, for those that weren't there or haven't picked up, we scored too early. Tampa Bay came back and scored three unanswered.
And we all knew it was coming. Let's not kidding. When they got the first, you're like, oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and there's no
question. And when they were up 3-2, I mean, a lot of us were like, well, we know how this is going to end.
Oh, I tweeted Preki out, man. Yeah. I tweeted Preki out.
We'll get to that.
All right. We'll get to that.
But no, DJ, another great game. I mean, this is a kid.
Unbelievable.
This is a kid that a lot of people shook their head when we traded him. And I know Angulo is doing well down in Oklahoma. But I think on the balance, I think it's been a pretty even trade. I mean,
I've got no issues with having Jackson in the team.
More than that, I want Jackson in the starting lineup.
Jackson absolutely looks happy to be here. I wasn't sure that Angulo wanted to be here.
Yeah.
So Jackson wants to be here.
You can tell he's seeing this as a fresh lease on life kind of thing, because he's making every opportunity he can.
Well, he's playing games. I mean, I think he was injured, granted, but I think he only played like two or three games.
He wasn't getting a lot of time down there, and he's pretty much featured in every game since he's been here.
My God, is he fast.
And again, you know, you said he looks happy. I love it when a player's out there smiling, having fun.
Well.
And under the right circumstances, yes.
Tulsa, you can stand right where the players come out to warm up.
Yeah.
So we left the bar early to go stand where the players, you know, and all the players are giving the kids high fives and stuff. And Mike McHugh mentioned that the players looked, whether they had the game faces or not on, but they looked pensive.
Yeah.
Apart from DJ, who was all smiles and happy and stuff. And, yeah. And I said to Mike, I said, it's because DJ's not had the joy sucked out of him yet from being here. But he just looks beaming. He looks happy to be here. And you can see it with his on-field play.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's an automatic in my starting lineup from now on.
There's no question.
And then the final goal, Pleva.
I thought it was a deflection. Here's another thing, right? After the game, someone on the group said, you know, what's your one word reaction to the game? And I said, lucky.
Yeah.
Because where we were stood, I just thought it was a deflection. You know, someone shot and it went off someone's guy's ass. And yeah. Goal. I thought it was a deflection. I thought we got away with one. It wasn't until I went back and looked and saw that play were actually meant to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving the guys enough credit. It wasn't a lucky win. They won the game.
Yeah.
It's doing them a disservice to say that they were lucky. Not that there's anything wrong with getting a lucky win, because you make your own luck and everything, but they weren't lucky.
And here's the thing.
They grafted and they worked for that win.
And here's the thing I'll say about that, because I think I tweeted from the main account, a bit fortunate there, you know, but they didn't quit. To me, that's what really has me questioning, second guessing, you know, some of my opinions going through this season, is for the first time ever, they got down and they kept working and they kept working. And I know Jeremy and I had a little disagreement about what's the difference between quitting and just playing bad. But these guys kept fighting and they kept fighting and they got that win. And I think that's the kind of win that, frankly, the first two games of the season were similar. And I hoped that was going to be the personality of the team throughout the year.
I will say this, though, also, that Tampa Bay are lights out better than New York and Ottawa.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
you know, we not only did we come back and beat a team, we came back and beat a very good team.
Yeah.
It's probably, I would say that's the first time we've beaten a team that is in contention for the USL Cup. And I say this with Charleston being on the slide.
Right.
Since Sacramento last year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's how big of a win this was for us. This
very big win. Very big win.
You know, and you're talking about the personality and guys not giving up. We've mentioned how much we love these guys. Dragon and Mirko can slide tackle like nobody's business. Yeah. I've never seen when we were down, there was a 50-50 ball, and Dragon did this hook slide where he popped it loose and spread and ended up, I forget who it was on the other side, ended up offsides. Yeah. But
they don't lack for confidence, do they?
No.
not only that, Mitch. Dragon had two assists, I think. I think Mirko had one. So they're not just terriers. I mean, they were creating stuff as well. I mean, they're not just going around kicking people. They can play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the big thing, that now they're both in and healthy and not out.
And quite frankly, still they're starting to figure each other out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they had a couple games early, and then Mirko was gone.
Yeah.
So not only are they playing, they're healthy, and they're together, they're figuring each other out.
But I think they got it You know, yeah. I really do. And now it's just a matter of who's in around him.
And again, I mean, we say it every week since he's come back. Mirko makes a difference in this team.
Ridiculous.
Well, as I say, look at it. I mean, if we just scored that penalty against Swope, we'd have had 9 of 12 points.
Yep. Yeah.
And that is serious playoff form.
Yep.
It's a concern, though, that, again, the Jekyll and Hyde, that, you know, it all hinges on one moment. We've got to start.
We also have a tendency, and you say this a lot, Brad, is that we'll have a podcast like this where we're all upbeat and we're like, yeah, okay, maybe we're on the upswing. We'll take a step forward. Yeah. And then next game, it's two steps back. And we have to stop that, you know, that rot. After a good game, we'll blow it.
That's one of my concerns here.
And yeah, that's it. That's it exactly. Because if we would have lost Tampa after losing Tulsa, I would have been in a really, really negative place. The Rowdy win gives me a little confidence again, but I've been burned before.
Yeah.
I've had this little bit of confidence. So now they have to follow that up with a win against Pittsburgh, which is very doable. I mean, Pittsburgh is not a great team. And then Tulsa will be a tough test then on the Wednesday, short rest. But if they can string a couple, you know, three wins together there, then we start talking again.
Even if we get 4 points, even if we can beat Pittsburgh and get a draw against Tulsa, that's only – then the loss against Tulsa last week will just be a blip. It'll be just one of them games that you occasionally lose. I mean, we all sit here and say we don't expect them to win every game because we don't. You know, you're going to lose a game every now and again. Right. And Tulsa would have just been one of them games that you just happened to lose. And we weren't blown out.
Right.
I mean, they had the own goal at the end that probably flattered us a little. I don't think we deserved anything out of the game. But
again, you look back and you said it. I mean, Swope, a very good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, Swope's one of the best teams in the West. Tampa, a very good team in the East.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing on that level now. Now, can we keep it going? Can we, you know, build on it? That's the question. That's what we'll be finding out this week.
Well, yeah, I think we play up to our opposition, which worries me because I think when they'll see Pittsburgh coming in, they'll play down our opposition.
We have to guard against
that. And it's 11th v. 12th. I mean, it's a massive game.
And if this team goes out and loses against Pittsburgh, we're right back where we started.
Yeah, I mean,
and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that's, you know, getting that win over Pittsburgh is going to give you a jump up to playoffs.
We're right there then.
You're right. You know, depending on what two or three other teams do, you're in it. You know, we haven't been there since.
And then once you're there, you got to stay there. You can't start dropping points again.
But that's the nice thing is that our schedule does shake up very well.
We had a tough start. Not easy running, but a doable running.
Well, Pat Barry said this the first time he was on this year, and I didn't believe him. But now as the season's kind of falling out here, we don't play a team in the top four.
Blurbs and Domita did their little strength of schedule thing coming out, and we have the easiest schedule of the East in the run-in. So we're fortunate, but we've got to take advantage of that good fortune.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems to
me we've put ourselves in a bad place to start.
But again, you know, you've got to think. Richmond's coming to town soon. I don't think going to Rochester, it's not going to be easy, but, I mean, we can get something done there.
It doesn't scare me, no.
What?
It doesn't scare me.
It doesn't. I mean, yeah, you're not going there, intrepidly.
Yeah.
Harrisburg, home and away, we've still got.
Yeah. That's not
Toronto 2. We've still got to go to Toronto 2.
I will say Toronto 2's played a couple of good games since we last saw
them. Well, since Mark Pace has come back in the lineup. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But, you know, we've got Orlando City to come.
Right. Ah, fuck, Orlando City's a draw machine.
Yep.
They just draw everybody. I heard somebody else the other day said, there hasn't been that much drawing in Orlando since Walt Disney died.
It's funny because it's true. It's a shit joke.
Yeah, it is a shit joke. But
it's a dad joke, but it's
I repeated a shit joke, so how shit am I? I want to give another shout out to you, Seth. Seth not only won the Luligan Man of the Match bucket, he won the Pleat Steamers Cleaners whatever Man of the Match, and he won USL Team of the Week this week. So that's a pretty good.
You know what was awesome about the USL Team of the Week this week?
No one that played against us.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say that they spelled Seth's name wrong in the graphic.
No, I want
USL, not STLFC.
I want his name on the back of his shirt
Rudolph
yeah. next week.
Like Wondolowski his misspelled. Yeah. So good job, Seth. I hope you'll forgive me for not believing in
but
you.
But man, after that second one where he came over to the corner.
Yeah. Oh, he wanted that.
Oh my God.
No, that was his first goal when he came to the corner. Okay. He wanted the adulation of that corner.
He did the pose, and it was okay.
Well earned.
Yeah,
well earned.
It was on.
Hey, I do have to mention, maybe because he cut the hair, he got rid of that man bun.
A little Samson action.
Yeah. Look good, Seth. I like it.
Actually, everyone was walking in the locker room at Tulsa, and he was the last one in, and he walked in, and I said, "Mike, who's that?" That's Seth.
Well, that happened to me a couple of weeks ago at halftime. He was warming up on the sidelines, and who the hell is that guy? Oh, it's Seth.
So Monday, I headed up, and I caught the end of training. Yeah, Sarah and I went up and watched it and ended up getting lunch, and you know they're coming off, and it was nice to see the training very light and smiles and happy and, you know,
yeah,
seeing a day after a win is a much different experience probably than what it is. But when Seth was coming off, he made a point to come over and say, hey, and he was still just
good.
Riding that cloud.
I want morale to be high. I want them to be confident.
And I want strikers to be in that mode.
Yes, and that's exactly what I just turned to Sarah. I'm like, that's what we need.
Yeah.
You know, and we also got a chance to talk to Wes for a few moments too. I think he's like a week away from coming back.
Jeremy said he's full training now. So
yeah,
probably won't start this week, but
he is chomping at the bit to get out there. Like that's a dude that is ready to unleash.
Yeah. Another just a one little tidbit from the Tulsa or the Rowdies game. Fire and Ice was celebrated at halftime. Lindsay came down before the game with a couple players and halftime they got the big cheer from the entire crowd and then they came over and got a special cheer from the corner. Very proud of those ladies.
Yeah. Well deserved. It was pretty cool to see the whole, because you know there's a lot of people in that stadium that have no idea they exist.
Yeah.
Have no idea what's going on. But I think it was Dragon tweeted out today.
Yeah.
You know, kudos, holy crap, undefeated. Yeah. You know, that, you know.
Well, and I mean, I was happy. Lindsay was happy for her girls. Because they deserve
to get
5,000 people yelling for them, and they got it. And I hope this relationship with St. Louis FC continues.
Yeah, I was personally happy for Lindsay. We've known her for 5 years.
Yeah,
and she's busted her ass and worked hard to get it up over there, and it probably doesn't pay off as well as she'd like, but. You know, to get that kind of credit in front of everybody,
little recognition for well how deserved. Much they've done. Yeah.
It was good to see Juice there too, Jarius Holmes.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen Juice.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, just a soccer guy. I mean, came over, I shook his hand, said congratulations, and he starts asking me about Grenwis. You know what I mean?
They can't turn it off,
no,
man.
They're constantly thinking. They're constantly, you know, analyzing the game.
I think he played in USL. I think he played for Austin when Adrian Heath was the coach before they moved to Orlando, Juice, before they moved to Louisville.
Juice played for the Lions too for a bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Speaking of USL and news, we've got a few more team announcements.
Yay!
Vegas, as we all knew was coming, 2018.
What was the joke? I saw somebody said they should be called FIFA.
FIFA Las Vegas.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
That was great.
A couple more teams for 2019 have been announced. Austin, Texas is coming back.
Yeah.
Same owner as the Aztecs with another money guy. Owns part of that racing track down there.
And that's where they're going to play.
Right. Yep. They're building a new pop-up stadium out there.
20 miles outside Austin.
Yep.
So I don't want to hear no one bitching about us being 14 miles away from downtown.
But they are going to rebrand. It won't be the Aztecs. But it is that core, so I'm hoping the Evers of the Army and all those fans come back.
I imagine they will.
And Birmingham is going to be joining the league in 2019. Mitch called that early. Good for you, Mitch.
Thank you.
And I think we're still expecting Memphis to be added to that list.
God, that's going
to
be awesome.
In 2019 also. So
we get Nashville next year.
Nashville, Vegas, and
Fresno
next year added. So Nashville, definitely a road trip.
Oh, that's a road weekend.
That's an overnight trip. Then the following year, Memphis and maybe Birmingham. How far is that, Matt?
Birmingham, 7.5 hours.
There you go. Matt knows all the distances.
Memphis, though, man, the amount of food that we're going to eat beforehand.
Dude, I'll be at Rendezvous, and you may have to wheelbarrow me to the game.
we may, there's a couple places we may have to hit. I'm just saying.
I do like some ribs. And I do like hot chicken. So Nashville's coming too. And by that time, 2019, we're expecting three conferences.
That's the best part about it. Again, you know, we kind of talked about it last time. The math works out. It's going to be there.
Jake Edwards pretty much confirmed it on the USL podcast that, you know, barring something unforeseen, they're looking at the Central Conference for 2019.
Bring it. My summer will be complete.
Yep.
It just plan on a lot of road trips out here.
Yep. The tailgate for this week, tailgate last week was pulled pork nachos and chorizo nachos.
Phenomenal.
Really enjoyed that. I always love nacho night. This week they're doing a chili cook-off. I don't know the specific rules. I don't know. I'll get some more information, and if you know you want to join the chili cook-off, we'll put some directions out there on Facebook and Twitter. But I know it might not seem like it, but when is chili ever not good?
You know, I usually say in the heat of the summer, but with the unseasonably cooler temps, you can kind of get away with it a little bit more.
It has been nice.
Yeah, I like chili too, so.
I do as well, but I'm not, you know.
Right. Charity du jour. Last week, we had another good one. $705 for backstoppers.
That is awesome. That's amazing.
Thank you very, very much, everybody who has contributed.
Thank you to Karen Montgomery for donating the shirt that I think probably helped out a little
bit
with that.
Put it up a little bit. Yeah, we auctioned off one of the, or raffled off one of the Cardinals soccer jerseys.
Mark Register won.
Mark Register did win.
Yeah.
And luckily, he's skinny enough to fit into it.
Yeah.
If I'd have won that, I'd have to give it back because I just can't fit that shirt.
A little see-through, but
it's a little see-through. But $705 for backstoppers, amazing.
Awesome.
If you don't know, backstoppers goes in and helps families of first responders who've been injured on the job or need a little help. So always happy to give back to that cause. Next week's charity du jour, we're doing the American Diabetes Association.
Diabetes.
You can get your blood sugar supplies because, you know, we have several members whose lives have been affected by diabetes, either a family member or themselves. Yours truly has a little problem with the sugar. So I'm not keeping the money we're donating. Understand? I'm sending it into the association.
Allie Ryan.
Allie's got.
Allie Ryan's got type 1, which is definitely more severe. Yeah. And she's lived not only a good life, but she's excelled. She's a soccer player at McKendree. But, you know, when especially when the kids get it, families need help understanding this disease because it's very difficult. So we're happy to contribute this week to the American Diabetes Association. So swing by the tailgate and drop a few bucks in the bucket. Ta-da.
Diabetes.
This week in around the league and news that might appeal to some, our old friend James Musa was signed by Sporting Kansas City.
Got a start, too.
And got a yellow card.
Yep.
He's not our player anymore.
No, but you know what, though?
Did he get an assist? Did I see that?
I don't know if he did or not.
I was going to say, is that the Musa hat trick? A start, an assist?
I know, and I know some people, you know, immediately took to Twitter and said, see, we get rid of these players, and they're good enough for MLS, but they're not good enough for Preki. Players come, players go. Some do better, some do worse. You know, who knows? If he would have stayed with us, maybe it wouldn't work out, you know?
Maybe he didn't want to stay with us to begin with.
But I just, good for
you
him.
You don't know.
Good for James. James is a good guy. I wish him the best.
Not our player.
He's not our player. In the mail this week, you might have gotten a thank you card from an STLFC player.
I did not.
You didn't get yours?
No, I didn't. Well, I'm waiting on the golden Preki one.
Maybe it's because you're an asshole. I got one from Tony Walls. Mitch.
Davala.
Davala Gort.
Fell, you know, through my hands.
If you're collecting these signed thank you cards at home, you know, put a shout out. Maybe somebody will trade you or give you theirs. But lots of fans got these cards, and I just think it's a nice little thank you to season ticket holders.
Fantastic little thing. I will say, when I opened mine, I read it and I was like, oh, this is a nice note. You know, I think it's important that the team does these kind of things. I think it's been lacking in years before, where maybe the little things that could have been done that could make a difference got ignored.
The cynic in me says they put out a round of phone calls from interns like a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
asking if you're interested in renewing your season tickets.
Yes.
The cynic in me says it's been a bad season. A lot of people said, I'm not sure yet. And then they responded with, let's get some thank you notes out there to the season ticket holders.
Regardless.
No, but I mean, they,
that's what I said. I'm cynical.
Oh, don't think I didn't go through all the
mental notes. I mean, they're generally pretty good, I think, in that regard. I mean, all the season ticket holders get a Christmas card at Christmas and things like that. I don't know.
I think those little things are nice touches. I really think
that. I think so.
I think it was a nice touch that the players were signing them rather than just the generic thing.
So well, that's where I was headed with it.
It was fun online.
I open up mine and I look at it and I thought it was Darian.
Right.
I thought it was Darian. I'm like, why the fuck did he put one on there?
He's like, the number one sales rep.
Why did Darian put one on there?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not only that, technically Darian's not even my rep. So what the hell is this? And then I'm like, it's Davala. Okay.
Well, then it became kind of a fun game on Facebook and Twitter for people to say, I got my card, and even Petrillo took to the time to make a unveiling video. Yeah. But, you know, people saying, oh, I got whoever, and people like, yeah, I got a player I didn't like, and other people, well, I got my favorite player. I mean, it was just fun.
Like Mahouch got third string goalie. Magical.
Yeah.
But you know what? Somebody's got to.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's kind of fun, too. But Claude doesn't like AJ, and he got AJ's card.
Yeah.
You know, that's just perfect. And part of me is, like, really hoping they trolled Twitter to see who's, you know, who said bad shit about me. I want to sign their card. You know, that would
be funny.
That would be even better. And then I tried to tell people, no, they ranked you. Depending on how good a person you are, that's how good a player's signature you got. So,
fuck.
But no, it's good fun, and I'm glad the team does little things like that.
No, I do too. And again, we've talked about doing the little things many times on this podcast, and this is one of those little things.
That's a simple little thing that worked.
Yeah, again, you can take your cynicism and shove it up your ass,
right?
Because it's a nice thing.
Oh no, I don't actually believe that. I'm being equally facetious. Okay. All right. Before we get to questions, and before we get to our fun topic of the night, let's
cheese.
No cheese tonight. No hot dogs. Let's talk about something that I was wanting to desperately talk about if we'd have had a podcast after the Tulsa game, but it makes it a little more difficult conversation now after the Rowdies game. Preki.
Mm. Oh, I was.
What are your thoughts?
I told you. I said if we lose after Tulsa, I said if we lose Sunday, I'm Preki out. We were 3-2 down with 20 minutes to go. I tweeted Preki out, and then we got it to 3-3. And then we won the game. So now, whenever we're losing by a goal, I've got to type Preki out. That's what we do. I was very, very concerned that the guys got off a bus at 5 a.m. and he had them in training at 10.
After the Tulsa.
That just seems
daft.
Crazy to me. Now, I kind of understand. I mean, there was various things going through, you know, twirling around. You know, if the players were just doing a regen session and the guys that played were getting a massage and being fed, so let's say they were being fed, you know, some decent nutrients, you know, you can kind of get to grips with it, but you don't have to do that at 10 a.m. Go get some sleep first. Come in at 6
or 3
tonight and we'll do that. I mean, and you're seeing photographs of Tyler David, who played in the games Tulsa, training at 10:30. That just blew me away. I was like, what's going on here? And
let's not restrict this just to because of Tulsa or because of the Rowdies. In general, I think we've kind of all danced around this year. Is Preki the right guy for the job? Has it been good or has it been bad?
That's just it. I mean, if it was another coach that you kind of were on board with and trusted and trusted implicitly, you wouldn't question it.
No.
But because it's Preki, you're like, well, is he doing the regens and the massages, or is he having to do the hill sprints for 3 hours? You don't know.
And that's part of it, too, is that Preki is a character that is larger than life in the USL. You know, he is that guy, and you hear the stories, and you hear the bad stories, and you know, the rumors are stranger than fiction sometimes.
Yeah.
Truth is stranger. And then you get into this point where it's like, okay, what do I believe? Do I believe that he is kind of nutty, or do I believe that he's just ultra competitive? Honestly, it's somewhere in between. No question.
But if you're hearing that they're training and training and training all the time, you know, after a loss, the only thing is to work harder. I mean, I'm no sports scientist, but that just seems to me that they're just going to burn out. And
That concerns the shit out of me.
But then again, in the last 20 minutes against one of the best teams in the league, we beat them. So yeah, fitness, maybe, and that's, maybe that's, there's something to it.
And
I
that's exactly it. That's what's bothered me is that this season has been nothing but peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And it'll be a small peak and a deep valley. A small peak and a deep valley. So I've never gotten a real good indication of what we can do, what we're capable of, and where we're headed.
But we ask these questions every week, you know, did he get the right players? Are the players performing? You know, and all these questions lead back to, is Preki the right guy for the job? And I'm with you guys. I see glimpses of it, of, oh, yes, this is why he was MLS Coach of the Year. This is how he got Chivas USA, right, one of the, you know, serially worst disaster franchises ever, to the playoffs. This is how he improved Toronto. This is how he got Sacramento to the championship.
Fucking Cincinnati are winning.
U.S. Open Cup is going on as we talk. But then I see other times where I don't think it matches up. Like, something's wrong. Like, is Preki, you know, some people say, has the game passed him by? I don't think the game passes you by in two years. But maybe it's just not a good fit. I mean, they were the players that he wanted. And he pretty much had carte blanche to get anybody.
Within reason.
He built this team from, you know,
ground up. Three players.
Right.
But I don't think the game has passed him by, but I think the league may have done. If you don't watch a USL game for 18 months and you have that rapid expansion, improvement, and
he's the guy that's watching it.
It wasn't rapid expansion of nobodies. It wasn't Harrisburg's coming in. It was good. Cincinnati, they're good teams coming in this league.
We go back to when we just had a 5-minute Q&A with him at his announcement. He thought the league had gotten worse.
Yeah.
Since the first year.
And see,
with
that's
Sacramento.
The thing. Is it just him being overconfident and projecting?
And I think a little braggadocio.
Because we know he has that side, and as well he should, because right. He's earned it. But that's the thing. It comes back. Is it Preki the character? Is it real? You know, he doesn't.
They played Harrisburg in the final. Harrisburg hasn't got close to a playoff berth since that.
But here's the other question. It's fair to ask, is Preki the right guy for this job? But it's also fair to ask, does Preki still want this job? Maybe he's done with St. Louis at times.
And, you know, we had said early on, we saw this as a stepping stone for him. That if he was coming back.
And that's cool, because it's a stepping stone for players. I mean, we just talked about Musa.
But he's not going on to bigger and better after his record here.
No. But again, I always think he's one of those guys that he's a two steps kind of guy. Yeah. You know, he's never playing for the current thing. He's playing for the next step.
And he is a Mourinho type player coach who likes to stick around 2 years and move on. You know, I don't know. But just like we said, though, I don't know. I'm still out on Preki. I thought I was done with him because I thought the players had quit on him.
And see, that's the hard part. But as soon as Tampa
told me they didn't quit on him.
And that's what
did they not quit on him, or did they not quit on themselves?
Well, fair question.
That becomes the next part.
Fair question.
I'm still, this weekend is the big answer.
I feel like we say that every podcast. Yeah.
Well, that's where we're at.
But we've been waiting for two games in a row.
Yes. We haven't had two games in a row in forever. And it's a winnable game. We're not playing, you know.
There should be no excuse for losing this game at home.
Yes. There shouldn't be.
Yeah.
If there is, we're right back where we were last week.
So here's
like Bird said, if we lose against Pittsburgh at home, Sunday was for naught.
So here's my question. Imagine we don't make the playoffs.
He's gone.
He's gone?
He's gone.
Or do we give him more time?
Well, first
we gave Dale a year and a half.
But
Dale didn't have the resources or the backing. Dale was a steady pair of hands to get the club off the ground.
Yep. And you put your life in Preki's hands.
They gave him a lot of money and a lot of trust.
And the other thing is, I don't think he'll be here on his own accord. He seems to be the guy that, if it isn't working out, he's going to walk away.
I think if he makes the playoffs, I think everybody's happy. I think he'll stay. I think the club will keep him.
See, I don't even know if he stays. But this is the problem.
There's playoffs, and there's deep runs in the playoffs. True, you know, if we finish eighth, Louisville finish first, we go to Kentucky, get beat 3-0 and out of the playoffs.
There's no point in being in the playoffs.
Have we even been in the playoffs?
We're not in the playoffs.
You know, but if we get let's say
I still think you give him another year.
I don't know. And see, again, this is the enigma that's Preki. He pulls this diva act where he doesn't talk to the media. He won't be on this show.
So we don't know. Yeah.
Again, coming back to the Tulsa announcer, as he's talking about our podcast, he mentions their coach goes on theirs all the time.
Right.
Dale was on ours all the time. Right. I'm not saying that we're the final answer. I'm not saying we're anything.
In a market where you're going to get no media attention, Rich Gould isn't interviewing you every Sunday night.
Right. You got to do something.
Yeah.
And
but you could literally go up to Dale anytime and go, Dale, what happened on Saturday, man?
Yeah.
You know, and he would.
And we would. Yeah.
Yeah. And yes. He would give you an answer.
Hell. Many times, Mitch and I would finish packing up at the tailgate and be driving out as Dale was coming across the parking lot to his car, and we would stop the car and talk to Dale for 5 minutes in the parking lot after a game.
And he's
initiating the conversation.
And even when it was bad, he didn't give you the, well, you know, we're going to have to train hard.
He gave his press conference answers to the press, but he would talk to us.
He would have the soccer. He would talk soccer.
Let's not kid ourselves. There's a little bit of revisionist history going on because people are mentioning bringing up Dale,
yeah,
you know, as an alternative to Preki right now.
There were a lot of people screaming.
We can't go back down that road.
People were screaming for walkouts when Dale was having a bad game or two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I do think most of the shilly in are tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody that says...
I don't know.
But I do think Dale's sitting there going, I would have liked this squad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he would have.
I don't know.
Again, you win and all is forgiven. You don't win, you have to answer to the Piper, and he doesn't. So at that point in time, if you're not gonna stand there and take the heat, because that's a coach's
job. Well,
and
that's the other thing though. Part of Preki not coming on podcasts or not.
He's not even
going,
you know,
on
Joe,
550 or
Joe Lyons.
Right.
He's not even interviewing him. They're interviewing.
I'm not saying it's about me and us, but
I'm just using.
He's
us
not
as an
in
example.
The media, right. Like talking to the media, like O'Connor. I know Jeremy calls them fake press conferences, but he does them every week.
Yeah.
You get a sense of what O'Connor feels after a Louisville game.
And that's the thing is that if you don't have that understanding.
You know O'Connor's fully bought in and wants to make his team. I don't know if Preki. Now, everybody tells us he gives a shit and he's a gamer. He's livid in the locker room and you know, nobody's more upset about this than Preki, but we're not seeing that. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to have a feeling for, because a guy can be losing and come out and make his case and you can be with him. But Preki doesn't have a lot of friends in that regard because he doesn't talk to the fans. He doesn't talk to the media. And
it's not
people,
even like he's talking to Brian Strauss or somebody like that.
People on the other side of the field tell stories about things Preki says and does when he's walking on and off the field.
Who was it? There's something about him calling somebody the worst he's ever seen or something
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, berating players, which, again, hey, there's Bobby Knights and there's, you know, sure. Dick Vermeils.
I've been berating players.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know. I want to believe in Preki, but I was as close to giving up as ever after the Tulsa game. After the Rowdies game.
Halftime against the Rowdies, I was there.
After the Rowdies game, I think he still has the players.
Again,
and if he still has the players and they're
Saturday's
still working.
Saturday's going to tell us, because that's going to be the ultimate judgment of it, is that did they fought through, as Matt said, did they fight for themselves or did they fight for the team, for him, whatever you want to call it. If they come out and shit the bed on Saturday, bye. I'm done.
Right. One more question about this and then we'll move on. No qualifications, no tell me this or that. Gut feeling, is Preki back next year?
No.
I think yes.
Wow, that was fast from both of us. We didn't even blink.
Okay.
I
considering your judgment on players lately.
Well, that's a good point. Preki's like, oh Jesus, why did Brad give me the vote of confidence?
He's not listening.
That's a good point.
He doesn't give a shit.
The club's got probably the option to keep him. He's got the option to stay or walk.
Yeah.
I think
they'll squeak into the playoffs, and I think they'll give him another.
But you know what?
Season.
I don't
on
think
our
so.
day. On our day, we can beat anyone.
Yeah.
We can't do it consistently, but on our day, we can beat anyone.
But that's the problem.
That's the stupid thing. We'll finish 7th or 8th and probably make it to the Eastern Conference semifinal if we can get across that line.
Trilogy of shit. This is exactly what...
Before we talk about putting our playoff run together, let's put a regular season run together.
But this is exactly what I go through with the St. Louis Blues for the longest time. They barely get in. They get knocked out in the first round. I don't want that. I don't want that out of this team.
All right.
How often do you see it in hockey where the 8th seed does really well? Because they've been playing playoff hockey for the best part of 3 weeks before it starts.
But again, that does happen. But in St. Louis, it's one and done. And I'm not doing one
and
done.
But we haven't done 3 weeks.
Dude, yeah. I would be happy with one and done after the last 2 years.
I wouldn't, because the expectation was to get into the playoffs solidly.
Yeah,
we all said that at the beginning of the season.
We should be at least 5th.
We should. I was going to say 6th, but I'll you know.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. But
minimum 5th.
But
we should be in there and running.
At this point, I'll be happy if we make the playoffs.
But that's I don't.
You can call it lowered expectations or whatever.
But see, that's the thing is that I don't know at that point in time if you're going to, like he said, if you're going to make it and go out, don't fucking make it.
Would you rather make the playoffs or would you rather just miss the playoffs?
Oh, I'd
simple.
It's not a question.
But the problem is, though, is that I don't want to be in that position.
Well, but we are.
But we shouldn't be. But that's the thing. We should not
No,
be.
You're right.
And that you, if you put yourself in that position, you deserve whatever heartbreak comes out of it. And that's, well,
yeah. Oh, sports, dude. That's what
exactly.
Heartbreak's
we deserve
for.
The heartbreak. All right, let's move
Trilogy
on.
Of shit.
Let's move on to the questions and comments here. Greg Halvix, and here we go. Who's your best 11? We've already decided that my best 11 is awful. But here's Greg's, and then you guys can build or subtract or take off or whatever. He says, Grinwis and goal. I think we all agree on that, right?
Right here, right now, yeah.
Sheldon, he wants Pleva, Tony Walls, and Sharpie in the back four. He wants Dragon, Mirko, Appiah. It looks like Tavo and Jackson, maybe Jackson up top, and Rudolph. That's his best 11.
Okay. So, without a doubt, Grinny, we all agree on, right?
Yeah.
That's safe.
Yep. Sharpie, healthy.
Sharpie, without a doubt.
Matt.
Sharpie at left back, yeah.
Let's skip center back for a second.
And I'm okay with Sheldon at right back, yeah.
Yeah, Sheldon at right back.
Yep. So,
all right.
So now we're just center back.
Center back. What do you do?
Are we playing four back?
Yeah, just four back.
We'll just say four back in a traditional.
For me, it's Tony and... Tony Walls has played really well at center back.
I think Tony's earned it for me.
I agree, but I don't like that he's playing back there.
But that's
what it is.
But we have too many in midfield, so I want to get Tony on the field, so it's got to be at the center back.
Exactly.
Right here, right now, Plava. I think that's a coin flip between him and AJ.
I do too.
And again. And here's what I'll say. I'll say it's a three-way because I think AJ, Plava, and Cabalceta all offer something.
Yeah.
But Cabalceta's in the doghouse, and we've never gotten a good shake at it.
AJ's in the doghouse, too.
But we know what AJ could do for the past 2 years.
I think I'm forever the AJ apologist, but I think right now Pleva is the call.
I think so, too. But I think that in a perfect world...
Here's the thing with AJ. He's in the doghouse, I think, because he gives a shit.
Yes.
And he's not happy about the way it's been going.
And some of it...
And I want my players to give a shit.
The story is that he's in the doghouse because he speaks back.
Well, and also people are down on AJ. They've been down on AJ. I mean, even going back to Tulsa, you know, people were saying he should never touch the field again. Part of AJ's mistakes, I think, have been him overcompensating to cover for other people.
We've not had a solid back line.
Right.
It's been Plevac, Cabalceta, Walls, AJ,
How
Sheldon, Stanley,
Ledbetter.
I truly believe Gorick is a victim of that too.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Gorick's not a bad keeper.
No,
he's had a bad season.
So if I can make the excuse for Gorick, I can make that excuse for AJ, and I'm gonna say that Dalgard, whilst I think his confidence is low and he's not been lights out, he needs a run of 5 games.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's played, he's been injured, he's come in, he's been benched, he's come in here and there. I think Sebastian Dalgard is a good player. I think
we're not
he's
even talking about midfielders yet.
All right, okay.
So okay, we say Sharpie, Walls, Sheldon, and I think we're all Pleva right now.
1A, 1B, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Pleva and Sharpie. Pleva.
Midfield, I think the center, I'm Dragon
and
Mirko.
Hold on, what's his?
His is Dragon and Mirko in the center.
That everybody's.
And Jackson and Appiah on the wings.
Now Jackson is technically listed as a forward.
Well, I mean, they cut in, they do damage. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I was looking at the wrong one. His was Dragon, Mirko, Appia, and Tavo.
I see. DJ has been vicious on the wing, so
he's got DJ as a forward here.
Yeah, he's listed as a forward, but much like Tony Walls.
Yeah.
If we can move Tony Walls back to center back.
Yeah.
We're putting DJ on the wing where he's been dangerous.
I'm have it for me personally.
Yep.
If we're going just a straight 4-4-2, I personally would have Mirko and Dragon in the middle. I would have DJ on the left. I would have Dalgard on the right, and I'd have Appia behind the main striker.
Here's I like that, but I have Dragon and Mirko, Jackson and Appia on the other wing cutting in because I want Milan and Valeska.
Oh, Milan, I forgot about that, yeah. Dude.
So I gotta make room for Milan.
That's exactly what I was.
And I know Seth had a great game, and I think I'd run with Seth. I think I'd go ahead and start him the next game, but for me, Valeska is your better player.
But if here's the thing. If you're making a spot for Milan, who hasn't had a run of games, he's been here, there, injured, on the bench, then I can make the same reasoning to have Dalgard in.
Okay, who do you take out to get Milan in there? Or do you want Jackson up top with Valeski and leave Milan on the bench?
That's a tough one, man.
Or Appia.
Appia's got to play the way he's come in.
Yeah.
And same with DJ.
Yeah.
And I think DJ, Appia, Milan, and Valeski are all kind of forwards.
But they all kind of intermesh and drop. And other than Valeski, you see a lot of them coming back.
I think Jackson and Appia have the speed to play out and get in.
Yes.
You've just convinced me of putting Dalgard back on the bench because you've got to make room for Milan and
the only reason I say you have to make room for Milan is because he gives you something that nobody else has, which is the height.
And the strength on the ball.
Right. So you can get across over the top, and Milan can put it down. He'll take a wicked shot.
I think the way Milan's built, there's a certain amount of chaos theory.
Yeah.
You know, when he comes in, defenders go.
He's dragging bodies with him, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at this dude.
Not only is he dragging bodies, but he's beating them to the ball.
Yeah.
He is unnaturally fast for his size.
Yeah, you've convinced me to put Dalgard back on the bench, but I do think Dalgard deserves more of a shot than what he's been given the last couple of games.
I do too.
So we've got our starting 11. Who are the three guys that need a chance?
I don't think we've seen enough of Alvarez. I don't know what he can do. I like Seth coming off the bench.
Alvarez started against Tulsa, and he didn't do much for me.
Nobody did anything at Tulsa, though. I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes,
but that's
you're right. He's got to make his opportunities like Seth
I do know Valeski likes to play with him.
Yeah.
But
I like Seth coming off the bench. I like Tavo coming off the bench.
You see, and I don't think it's fair to say Tavo had a bad game against Tulsa. He's playing wildly out of position.
And that's the other thing. Some of these I can go either way. I mean, I could see putting Tavo in and bringing somebody else in off the bench too. But if I got to do my best 11, Grinny, Sharpie, Pleva, Walls, Sheldon, Dragon, Mirko, Jackson, Appia, Milan, Valeski.
But is
Valeski on your starters?
Yeah, I would have him up top.
Because people have not been giving him very much love, but I still think he's
well,
our
we
best.
Slated him for the first 10 minutes of the podcast, but I do think you're right.
I think he's our best
he
striker.
He's a more consummate player than Seth.
Yeah. People tend to remember your last mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I mean, and you know, you can give the ball away in midfield and it come to nothing. You mess up as a forward and people are like, what are you doing, dude? I mean, that's just the nature of that job. I do like Seth off the bench. I think DJ offers the same as what Seth does to a certain degree. He's pacey. He's not I don't think he's the most skillful guy.
I think DJ has been disruptive and caused danger every game he's been in.
I do think we needed pace.
Seth has had bad games. I'm sure DJ will too.
When DJ first came in, though, he brought that pace in that we drastically needed. Yeah. I mean, against Charlotte and New York Red Bull, we just looked ponderous.
Yeah.
You know, DJ has come in and
we haven't
and
been
injected.
A fast team.
But we are now. I mean, you look at that start. Yeah.
But now,
the
as soon as you
Tampa.
Got Milan, and you've got Milan in there, this week we had
Avia's
Seth.
Avia's got the flicks and tricks.
You know, all of a sudden, with the three guys that came back.
Do you know
traded,
we're not talking about injuries right now? How awesome yeah. is that?
Yeah,
Sharpie's the only one we're waiting on.
And like I said, talking to him yesterday, he's ready to go.
But you know what? I know I slated him the first 2 months of the season, but Ryan House quietly come in and done all right. So
yeah, no, I've got no problem with Ryan playing right now. And you know what? Here's the other guy. I wish Aiden Stanley was getting some more time because I think he's young and I think he's the future.
I do, but
I think that's a kid that could skip college and go pro.
I think the thing is right now when
we can't afford
points, we can't afford right. that time. That's really yeah. what it comes down to.
But he had some good games early, and I think he's going to be a good player in this league.
I can see maybe.
Thing is, though, his best game for us was against Toronto, too. Yeah. And how much can you take out of that?
Yeah.
Because they were tripe.
But so that's what I was just getting ready to say. We play Toronto, too, again, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the 30th.
They're a better team than they were last time.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe that's the time that he gets another start.
Yep. You know, but these two teams do come on strong at the back end of the season when
yep.
they figure out figuring it out.
Absolutely.
Let's move on. JD24, was Pleva's goal a set play or luck or what?
It was not.
I think it was instinct.
Pleva,
there was an STL Today article where they talked to him, I think.
He talked after the game, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, he flat out said, I was pushed up. I'm supposed to drop back, but something told me just to stay where I was and saw it coming, knew I could just flick yeah. it. And
so I don't think they worked on that play. I think he was in a position and took advantage of it. He knew what he was doing. I was like you, Matt. I thought it was luck until I went back and watched it.
Yeah.
You see, too. He opened up his hips. Yeah. He had it just right.
Good for Conrad, man.
Oh,
good
absolutely. He was ecstatic.
I was ecstatic.
Mike Baldridge, can Seth keep his starting spot? I think so. I think with keeper or with the strikers, you want to go with confidence and the hot hand.
Yeah.
Especially, we got two games in 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have rotation anyway. I mean, there's a place in that.
I think you start him.
He's going to play in one of those two games.
I think you start him, and I think if he's not sharp, then you can bring on Valesky to replace him. But, yeah, it's hard to argue with a guy who's scored two goals in his last game.
Yeah.
Of course, I've said before, I'm dumb. So.
Well, and let's be honest, Preki doesn't have the history of sticking with
Preki
things.
Preki does what Preki does, and sometimes there's no logic to it. All right, this was, I just asked a general question. Are we going to make the playoffs? Zach says we need to complete a set of games first. I agree with him.
Yep.
Actually, he said we need to complete, we need a complete game first.
Well, that's another point.
Yeah.
We scored 4 goals and barely won.
Right.
We were, you know, barely won.
We gave up 3 unanswered goals after leading 2-0. That's fucking awful.
You're right. Zach is absolutely right. That Tampa game was kind of a microcosm of our season.
No, because I left happy.
That's true.
There you go.
And I do want to say this. I kind of had not a little rant, but I have to remind myself to be happy after a win. Doesn't matter what happened, you know, we won. And it goes back to Jeremy being on the podcast last time saying, you know, he's a football guy. We're fans. We can be happy and not get mad about the individual mistakes. He was probably seething at some of our defending.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
But we, you know what? Let's be happy, guys. We won a game.
BW Banker says string 3 or 4 together and then he'll be confident we'll make the playoffs. Fair enough.
Not going to argue.
Augustus Waiters, our friend from Louisville, he wants to say we have the easiest schedule run in.
Yep.
He thinks we need to fix our backline communication.
Yep.
I agree with that, especially if you saw that Tulsa game. And he thinks we should give Preki more time. Maybe that's because he's a Louisville fan.
I was going to say
he wants us to lose.
Actually, he's been one of the most sympathetic towards us.
I like this.
Very,
I love
Augustus. Very, very, very good friend, Augustus. Thank you for listening. David Sharp, he says we'll fall short by one goal, and it's the thing about the whole season.
That is true too. I can't.
We could very well be going into that last game of the season. It's an away game, and we'll be watching at ITAP. And it could...
if we need a point or a goal or whatever to get over that line, I will be in Harrisburg.
Really?
I will be in Harrisburg.
Enough to go to Harrisburg. Wow.
I can't do it because I know I just have this innate feeling they'll disappoint me.
I'll have to go.
And Jeff Aiken says, if we play like we did Sunday, we'll make the playoffs. There you go.
Okay.
Let's move on. Go ahead.
It's not back on.
It's not back on, no.
But it's the
hope. But it's not off.
Well, no, it's not. If we'd have lost to Rowdies, I'd said it's off.
But that's the way we're at. I mean, we could have had 2 points from nine, or we could have had 9 points from 12.
Right.
I mean, that's
this team in a nutshell.
All right.
But I do think we're trending upwards, and that scares me because I'm going to get disappointed again.
Sure. Last topic is, I asked just for fun, who is the St. Louis celebrity or semi-celebrity you would like to see join us for a game in the corner?
Becky Queen of Carpets.
There you go. Becky Queen of Carpets. That was the number one answer. I'm just going to list all these.
I want to see the guy that does the Gettica's adverts.
There you go.
On the Lord's Day.
Well,
on
a Sunday. He can come on a Saturday. He cannot come on a Sunday.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah. You know,
but you know what?
You know how he and my wife are like? Neither one can come on a Sunday.
That's not true, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
I'm just going to list these celebrities. I'm not going to say who said them, and we can comment on how likely it is to happen, or if we'd like to see the same celebrity.
Is Chuck Berry taking care of the porta potties?
We'll get there. Number one answer given by most people was, any guesses?
John Hamm.
The ladies love him. The men want to be him. John Hamm. It would be nice to have him here. He's a big St. Louis sports fan.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
Neither do I.
Cedric the Entertainer got a shout. Like Cedric down there. A lot of people said the Sklar brothers. Mm. I know you don't like them, but I do. And they can come on the pod. Mm. We'll turn your mic off. Chris Runge from Fastlane. And he said he will come if we have Malort. So
he really is a masochist.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right. I'll point that one to Costin.
Several shouts for Doug Vaughn from KMOV.
How about anybody from the media come?
Well, that's what I'm saying. These local ones have a much higher chance, and you should tweet them. You should tweet at
all
them.
All the time.
Somebody mentioned Gravity Kills, a band from our youth.
Was it Gravity Kills saying that they wanted to play a show?
No, but they responded that they like soccer.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Love the song Guilty.
We got Jamal Mayers. We know he's been out before.
Is he going to shave his eyebrow again?
Maybe. Taylor Twellman would be nice to have Taylor out to a game.
Kind of busy.
He works.
He's very busy, very busy. Alexander Steen and Paul Stastny and Tarasenko.
I would absolutely be up for them coming out.
I don't know about Stastny, but Steen and Tarasenko have been to a game, but I don't think their agents let them to the corner.
Nope.
Of course, now that Tarasenko has a contract extension, he can come on over. I'll give you a guess as to who mentioned this. They'd like to see Mike McGee and Brian McBride in the corner.
Oh, gee, I wonder.
Yep. That comes from Mike McCube. Had a few people ask for the morning after show on 590, which is Tim McKiernan and Doug Vaughn. Be fun to have them come out.
Media, they should be here anyway. Done.
Right. I don't know Tony X and the...
That's the guy that
tweeted... Washed Chronicles podcast?
Tony X is the guy that tweeted during the Blues game.
Oh, that was the guy that had been to his first Blues game, that guy?
Yeah, who he had never...
He'd
never watched a hockey game before in his life. And
well, that would be
this
fun.
This shit is lit.
We should get him out. That would be good.
Tony X would be awesome.
Everybody tweet him. He's at Solu City.
Yep. He is awesome. He is hysterical.
Several people said John Goodman, but John Goodman doesn't have a Twitter, so he's never going to find out. James Gunn, the Guardians of the Galaxy director.
Yes.
He actually liked that tweet suggesting he should come.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Nice.
Famous. Our buddy Chris, STL Canadian, recommended James Gunn.
Nice. Shoot.
Ryan Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Orton. Might be fun to have Randy Orton.
I would let him RKO me.
Trey Wingo.
ESPN, former Channel 5 guy.
Yep. Nelly, you knew Nelly was going to get a lot of votes.
He's on tour.
Vincent Price. I believe Vincent is no longer with us.
But I'm sure his ghost would come out.
And speaking of ghosts, Chuck Berry.
He'll take care of the porta potties.
He will be in the porta potties watching. Rich Gould. Shouldn't have to say that. Rich, everybody tweet Rich this week. Rich, come out to the game. I know you're doing the news on Saturday night, but maybe KPLR, since it's on their station, will let you come out and do a little halftime report from the game. So everyone, tweet Rich Gould.
I'm going to stop banging my head against the microphone.
A vote for Scott Bakula. I think he has a St. Louis connection, I believe.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
Hey, maybe he can quantum leap to the corner. Jenna Fischer.
Yes.
Everybody wants Jenna Fischer.
Yeah, except for she's now wearing Dodgers gear all the time.
Well.
So she may be a traitor.
Had a vote for Elliot Davis. He can come in and find out where we've spent the money, because we should be higher in the standings for how much money we've spent.
You paid for it.
Moon got a lot of shouts. Moon's there on a fairly regular basis, and he usually stops by the corner.
Moon's with his family. Leave him alone.
But he wears the Luligan scarf.
Yep.
Andy Cohen.
Energy up.
Yeah, energy up. Andy Cohen. He's the guy on Bravo, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's from St. Louis.
Yes, he is.
I'm just so out of the loop on this.
Well, he was tweeting at Kroenke during the whole Rams thing.
Yeah, he was pretty...
He's like a host on different shows on Bravo.
He's a good dude. He's entertaining.
Somebody rounded off the Jenna Fischer comment with Ellie Kemper and Phyllis Smith.
Yeah.
You have the little office reunion in the corner.
I'm up for it.
Hey,
you work for Dunder Mifflin, so that works.
I do. Joe Buck. I think Joe's probably a little busy.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice. My personal favorite out of all the suggestions, it was just a picture, but everybody knows it's the pirate lawyer.
Yes.
The lawyer with the eye patch.
Yes.
I don't know his name, but I've seen his billboards, and I would love...
It's not Brown and Crouppen.
It's one of those, but it's not Brown and Crouppen. I mean, he's a personal injury lawyer.
Oh, my God.
I typed
in St. Louis lawyer and with eye patch.
Well, yeah.
Was immediately the first thing that came up.
He's famous.
Charles Ed Brown.
I'll see if I can find him on Twitter and we can tweet the hell out of him.
Oh, my God.
I just call him pirate lawyer.
Ed Brown. That is fantastic.
Brett Hall got a few votes. I don't think he's going to come, but maybe.
Brett's pretty busy.
Towel guy from the Blues. We can put him in the back, have him wave his towel.
We can have the two Hall of Famers at the back of the stands
together.
There
you go. got a few shots for Dexter Fowler.
Dexter needs to be in the playoffs. Yeah. He needs to pay attention to what he's doing, him and Yachty.
This one is, I had to look this up because I'm not as well-versed with sports radio, but there was a couple of people wanting Deke Dodum.
That's the...
The guy that's been banned from the morning after show forever.
Whatever.
Ken Bone, the guy from the debates.
Come with the sweater.
Good shout here, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, and they said we could do a charity du jour for her foundation.
That would be nice.
That would be cool. A lot of people gave a shout for Yachty. Everybody loves Yachty.
He just sent his brother.
His dad comes to the games, right? Or is that his brother that comes to the games?
His brother came to the first game.
Okay. Chingy got a vote, because if you're going to go Nelly, you got to go Chingy.
All those St. Lunatics.
Yes. Let's end it with that. The rest of the St. Lunatics. Murphy Lee and City Spud.
On a serious note,
yeah,
I would like to see some of our ex-players, when they're in town, come and stand in the corner.
That'd be fun.
Alex Riggs, Pete Kelly, Mike Roach, Brandon, Ambo.
Yeah.
Come see us, guys.
I agree.
But let's do this, though. Those would all be fun. But the ones that, like Mitch said, that are in local sports media, tweet them. That's how you do it. We got Randy Carricker out after Randy, kind of said he wasn't a soccer fan. Came out and
let's
actually
be honest,
had
he
a good
shit
time.
On soccer for but a
he,
while there,
but he came
he
out
gave
and
it
had
a
good
time.
Ortiz, Ortiz talked about how we were all just ketchup on a steak, but he actually came out and had a good time and has recommended us to other people.
Yeah, on his own without prompting.
Again, if you come out to a game, you're gonna have fun.
So everybody out there, pick your favorite St. Louis sports caster or radio personality, your TV personality, and just tweet at him. Just say, hey, come join us for a game.
Unless it's me.
Unless it's Matt Bird. Because he's already going to be there. So that'd be just wasted tweets.
You know, the weird thing is that semi-sober Matt Bird is really starting to scare me during the games.
Yeah, but I like big bottle of wine, Matt Bird.
But, yeah, I was just going to say, but the big bottle of wine, Matt Bird, is a whole lot better to deal with. He doesn't pace as much.
It feels like we've been talking forever. Can we be done?
We could be. Do you really want to be?
You guys got anything else?
No.
Saturday?
Saturday.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. We got chili cook-off. Chili cook-off.
We got...
Diabetes.
We need 3 points. Need that's three all it comes points. Down to. That's you keep saying is. This every week, but this is the...
But that's where we're at. Every game is 3 points.
And if we win, Matt Bird will get a Preki tattoo on his ass.
Loot it up, Kyle. I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Nothing, everything for two. Just don't know.